You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
We're in Acts chapter 16 tonight, and orchestra, we'll let you come on down and join the folks there and down in the front. Thank you. All those trumpeteers are so great. Amen. Look at them. God bless you. We'll have a great service on Tuesday night. It's going to be strange having a Tuesday night instead of Wednesday night. But I'm looking at the, I don't want to draw attention to the weather. Every lady I checked with, it says it's fine in here. I feel like it's cold. How many girls are on this section cold? Anybody cold? One, two. How many over here? Three, four. How about over here? Five in the back? No? Okay. Here? One, two, three, four, five, six. Okay, a little bit. How about here? Just if, I won't be long, but if you could just bump it up a degree or so, that might be good. And we'll see how that works. Well, here comes a sinner right there. I'm talking to you, Brother Jackson. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I love you so much. I thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. I thank you as you reached down and saved us. What a marvelous transformation took place. I thank you for the great transformation that took place in Acts 16. All the many souls that were won to Christ and lives were changed. I think of that first European convert here in Acts 16. Lydia, a businesswoman. She was the first to get saved, and all of much of England was given the gospel because of this very moment. I think of this woman of who was possessed of demons, and though not a businesswoman, a needy woman that got saved. I think of this Philippian jailer in Acts 16 who was lost and ready to kill himself as a result of the prisoners and the earthquake. And yet Paul says, do thyself no harm. We are all here. And that night he said, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and his house, and was saved. I pray that you would open up this text to us tonight. May we see that which is so very important. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 16, there's so much in the chapter. As you begin and you want to go back to chapter 16, verse 1 through 4, Paul gets Timothy. And Timothy was his own son in the faith. He writes to Timothy. He had won him as his own convert. And Timothy was saved. And he said, you're going to go join us now. And Timothy left. He was from a home where his father was unsaved. His mother was saved. His grandmother was saved. His dad was lost. But God changed him that day. Then you pick it up in verse number 6 through 11. And it's the Macedonia call. Come over to Macedonia and help us. Paul was ready to take the gospel to Asia, and Africa would have got the gospel. But the Spirit of God said, no, I don't want you to go to Asia. I want you to go to Europe. And he's going to reach this woman by the name of Lydia, a European. And from Europe came the gospel, always westward. And it moved to the United States as it came to us. And it came to New England and then across the West. And now we're reaching Africa. We have so many missionaries there. But Africa would have been America had Paul had his way. But he yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. In Acts in chapter number 14 and verse 16 in chapter 16, verse 14 and 15, we have the lady by the name of Lydia, we mentioned three times and in prayer, how she got saved. We have the demon-possessed girl in chapter 16, verse 16 through 19. And she was, her life was changed as she believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have these people, these Jews that were preaching the gospel. And Paul was one of those Jews. And he said, verse 20, and he brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. It's amazing how they came to the point where they realized that their city was being troubled with the gospel. The gospel, the good news of salvation, should trouble people. It should stir things up. And the Bible says, and you teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates read off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. So these preachers, Paul and Silas, they were preaching. Timothy was with them, but apparently not, were arrested. And they arrested them. They put them in the inner prison, the heart of the prison. And in the heart of the prison, they were bloodied with their backs beaten. Their bodies were broken. And they had their feet in these stocks. They could not move. They could not get rest. But I want you to notice, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. I want to speak to you tonight on the midnight hour. What to do at midnight? You know, midnight's a transition moment. It is from this day here, and it's this day here. Years ago on the radio station, we'd have at midnight, I'd speak to you, and I had a three-minute challenge as we were ending this day and moving into the next day. And that's exactly what was taking place. I hope at midnight tonight, I hope you're asleep. That's a good thing to do at midnight, amen? To sleep at midnight. But perhaps you'll be awakened tonight at midnight. There's something I always do at midnight. I hope college students here are in bed and rest and sleeping. I hope you high school kids are sleeping soundly by midnight tonight. I hope my wife is sleeping soundly at midnight tonight, and she is hoping that as well. I hope I'm sleeping at midnight tonight. But what can you do at midnight? At the change of to the next day, there's always something to do at midnight. I haven't in the last few weeks seen as much midnight as I have previously. But I'll probably be awake tonight at midnight. And I can meet with God at midnight. I hope tonight or tomorrow night at midnight I'm up. I hope I can pull my sheet out that I've given thanks to God for all that he's done for me this year. God's been so good to me. God showered down his blessing on me. I'm living on borrowed time. And yet, God allows me to live. And God allows me to have strength. And I get to sit down there. My wife's got one room decorated for Christmas in the house. And I get to sit there by that tree. And the trees that she has there. And the Christmas lights. And just ponder and pray and praise God for what he has done. I wonder at midnight, if you're awake this week, what you'll do. At midnight, the Bible says that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises to God, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, He drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light. They sprang in and trembling. They fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house. They took them the same hour of the night at midnight. He washed their stripes and was baptized, and all straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, rejoiced, believing God with all his house. What to do at midnight? Well, you can pray at midnight. Acts chapter 1, verse 14, they're gathered together in that upper room, and the Bible says, and they prayed together. Acts chapter 1, verse 24, and they prayed together. Acts chapter 3, verse number 1, and Peter Peter assembled and John and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." What was it going on? They went to the place of prayer in chapter 3, verse number 1. In chapter 6, verse number 4, we will give ourselves continually. The men of God, the pastors of the church, we will give ourselves continually to the word of God and to prayer. You see, in the book of Acts, it's all about prayer. Acts chapter 12, verse 5, Peter was kept in prison and the doors shook open. And that night, they were loosed. And the Bible says in chapter 12, verse 5, and prayer was made without ceasing. Prayer is a wonderful treasure. Prayer is a wonderful thing. Blessings are ours without measure, so pray about everything. Church family, if there's something that this church needs, in 2025, as we approach the new year, it's prayer like we've never prayed before. Prayer is a wonderful treasure. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and my wishes known. In seasons of distress, my soul has also found such rest. Oh, child of God, how we need to pray. I'm not saying we pray just in the midnight hour. I say we pray all the time. Men ought always to pray and not faint. Luke 18, 1. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. Do you pray? Do God's people actually pray? I mean, have you sought God about your Sunday school class? Well, they're just little kids. Well, those little kids are going to be the next leaders of the nation. And do they have teachers that pray for them? They have teachers that pray that they'll keep them from sin and from wrong that week. Do they have teachers that pray that student might know righteousness and holiness and godliness? How about your children in your home? You know, our youngest, I said this morning, was 45. That was wrong. It's the eldest is 45. We were married for 7 years, and then God gave her to us. So the youngest is still here. The other two, they're pastoring churches away from here. But you know, we got married 52 years ago next month. It's just us. It's just me. And then I added her to my life. And now we have two people to pray for. But then in time, God gave us Tiffany, a pastor's wife in Newport Beach. And then God gave us Tim, a pastor in Surprise. And then God gave us Tabitha, the principal's wife of our school, and her husband, one of our assistant pastors. And God gave us these three children. And then God gave them all mates. And so now there's two of us, but now there's six of us. Now there's eight altogether with our kids. And then they had baby number one, Ashlyn, who's 22 and finishing college. And then one after another, and before you know it, we've got 14 grandkids, and there's 22 in our family. And you know, along the line, we've lost a mom, and we've lost a dad, and we lost a mom, and we lost another dad. We don't pray for them anymore. They're in heaven. But we have responsibility to pray for these kids. And I have responsibility to pray for you. Now think of what in the world could happen if we just literally knew what it was to pray and to pray more. Ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your own lust. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to them that ask him? Do you pray? I tell you, at the midnight hour, if you cannot rest tonight, get up and pray. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. But then they sang at midnight, singing in prison. I tell you what, I wouldn't be singing, I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'd be, Lord, I've been trying to serve you. I might pray, but I don't know how about singing. But here is Paul and Silas at midnight in the inner part of the prison. It's dark. They could not see one another because that's why the fellow had to, the jailer had to get the light to go see, are they there? And it's dark. And they're singing away, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. And they were singing, there's within my heart a mellow. Can you imagine those guys singing? I don't know what the other prisoners, what they were doing. But there in the inner part of the prison at midnight, they were singing. They sang, oh, victory in Jesus. My Savior forever, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him. Victory in Jesus. They sang. You know what you ought to do is just sing. I won't go through the litmus test. You've heard it so many times, but sing about themes. Sing about the cross. Every song you can think of, not the cross. Open your song book up and go to the blood and sing the songs about the what can wash away my sin. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my sing about the blood and about the cross and sing about Calvary and sing about heaven and sing about sing about songs of praise to God, the hymns of the faith, and just sing songs of themes about Jesus. You know what you do at midnight when you can't sleep? Get up and sing. Get up and pray. You know what you can do at midnight? You can go soul winning. Look what the Bible says. And the keeper of the prison, verse 27, waking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors were open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm. We are all here. He called for a light. He sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. That was such a moving experience for that man. He thought by now all the prisoners would have escaped and he was responsible for, and he was going to have to pay with it with his own life. And instead he realized they're all there. And the Bible says that he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I want whatever you have. They put you in prison, they beat you. They buffeted you. They put you in stocks. They put you in the inner prison. They put your feet in stocks. And at midnight, you were praising God. At midnight, you were praying. And at midnight, you told me about Jesus. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. My wife and I recently went to, she was speaking at a ladies' conference. I was speaking at the church there in Georgia, and we went to Gatlinburg. We have never been there before, into Pigeon Forge. Maybe you've been there. It's beautiful. We went and saw that Titanic, and you know the whole story. I've told you about it. It's amazing seeing the picture of the man, John Harper. He was on his way to Moody Church to our candidate for the position. His wife lost her life in childbirth. And that little girl was 4 years of age, and he was raising her by himself. As he was floating that night out in that icy water, and they had the water temperature at the Titanic, they had it the same degrees. You could put your hand in there, and it was so cold. And it lived long. But they're floating on those boards and whatever they could float on. And John Harper went by and said, "Sir, are you saved?" He said, "No." He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." He quoted that verse. In the midnight hours of those icy waters. A few minutes later, he floated back, and he said, "Are you saved yet?" That man was saved, and John Harper, the pastor of Moody, was going to be the pastor, going to be called there. He died that night. His daughter lived till 1986, I think it was. And she passed away with a stroke. But he quoted this verse. That man stood up. He was rescued. They said, "I was John Harper's last convert." And I know I've told you it before. But it's so appropriate because he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Brother Poussin, that's what you did. 39 years ago, I think, when he said, "I believe." Curtis Hutchins was preaching, and he goes, "I believe. I believe." You know what you can do at midnight? You don't sleep. You can pray. You can sing. You can win souls to Christ. I think I'll close down. You can stand for righteousness, verse 37. And Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, condemned us as Romans, have cast us into prison. Now they thrust us out privily, secretly. Nay, verily, let them come and let them fetch us out." The sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. They came and they brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. They went out of prison and entered into the house of Lydia. They went to see a new convert and spend some time with her that night. You know, there's so much to do at midnight hour. A friend came at midnight in Luke chapter 11. And knocked on the door. And the man said, "What do you want, neighbor?" And he goes, "I need to talk to you. I need some help. Well, my kids and my wife and my family, we're all in bed. Go away, come back again." And he knocked again. And he knocked again. And he said, "Because it's an importunity. Just keep on praying." I don't know if it's going to take 31 years, like I mentioned this morning, or if it's going to take 61 years, or it's going to be in someone else's lifetime. But God always answers prayer. He always answers it. I think about in the Bible, not only this one that came at midnight, but I think how Jesus came knocking at the door in Mark chapter 13, verse 35 at midnight hour. I think of how our God in Exodus 12, 29, came and at midnight hour, he said, "The firstborn will all die." And at midnight, he came and they died. I wonder what you're doing at midnight. Next time you cannot sleep and you're up at midnight, maybe you ought to just supplicate for a while. Supplication is prayer on behalf of others. Maybe you ought to sing just for a while. Maybe we ought to go soul winning just for a while. Maybe we ought to go see these new converts and check up on them. Our Father, what a mighty God. I thank you that you're always aware of every need that we have. I thank you tonight that at the midnight hour, you could speak to us. I thank you for that midnight hour. So many nights in my ministry, I've been awakened at midnight. Shortly before, shortly after, but at midnight. I've learned to walk with you at midnight hours and weep with you. And I've learned to sing to you at the midnight hour. I've sung so much over the last 20, 30 years especially, at the midnight hour. And I've prayed so much at the midnight hour. God, I pray that you would allow us to experience the midnight hour where in the stillness of whatever time it is, but what we would call midnight, that you speak to us and deal with us.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.